radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, or in chapter 16. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. In chapter 14, he said, whoever takes the mark of the beast will be cast into the lake of fire, and they will be tormented in the presence of the Lamb and of the angels forever and ever, and have no rest day or night. That's hellfire. And what he's doing is he's using these people who are what we might call firebrands. They're already lit. And he's taking them and putting them in a condition with a noisome and grievous sore. The word grievous is a different word. It's the word poneros. And that word has the idea of a sore that is intrinsically, personally painful. It's not just what others are going to see, that oozing, pus-filled kind of a boil that's just going to be painful and miserable, but there's going to be an internal agony. What kind of despair are we talking? Knowing that there is no deliverance from this. Knowing that there is no one coming. There's no hope. There's no doctor. There's no medicine. There's no fix. You say, man, that's just hard preaching. That's the Word of God. And serious people take it seriously. He tells us this is what's coming. We're seeing a setting up of something very, very accommodating to something like this. And the whole world is moving to make it so, as if they have no idea that things could get really, really bad if we keep acting like God does not matter, like God does not exist. No, we can't take this and just say, well, I'll try to be kind in my reading of this. No, we have to be clear in our reading of this. Clarity is what informs us. It's what gets us up in the morning and tells us how to behave. It's what helps you to get your mind around what's coming so you can tell somebody else before they have to have any taste of this. We have to be conspicuous. You and I were made for this hour. The Bible says in verse 3, and the second angel poured out his vial on the sea, and it became as blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. The word soul is the word suke, meaning anything that had breath in it. And the idea here is that the food source of the sea was taken away. And it said everyone. You see, God is going to do a great reset. You may have heard of Charles Schwab, I guess his name was. I think I got the right name first, the first name, but I know it's Schwab. The Global Economic Forum was supposed to meet here a few weeks ago, and they decided not to because of COVID, even though those people, of all people, know COVID is not the threat. There's stuff going on behind the scenes in this world that makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck when you think about what's going on. They canceled it. Why? I think because they don't have as much control as they think they would have had by now. That we'll postpone and see how things fare. Because the clash of kingdoms, and they're not just God's kingdom. Some of them are men against men. Who's going to be top dog when the dust settles? I don't know. But I'm telling you that they're canceling it is very curious indeed. Because they were all ramped up thinking, we've got them right where we want them. They're on the ropes. Let's do this. Another year gives a whole lot of room for things to go sideways where they can't do this. Which tells me, I believe, they can't do it now for some reason. Or they would. The Bible says he's going to turn the entire sea. Earlier in chapter 8, the Bible talked about the sea becoming as blood, but only a third of it. And a third of the ships being disrupted. The third. This is all of it. God's saying, I'm taking back what's mine. You've been eating off of my farm. That's my farm down there. That's my land. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And the cattle on 1,000 hills. He said, if I needed something, would I ask you? No, I don't need you. Because people were insolent, he had to speak so forcefully. But it's true. He condescends to love Because that's what he does and that's who he is. He can't let these people go on continually hurting people. There's a Hyde Amendment where they said they weren't going to finance abortions in this country through taxpayer money. That this week was taken off of the table. Biden had something to do with manipulating it, as I understand. Now your tax dollars can abort children, even though the pro-life movement has taken great strides and shut down a lot of those abortion clinics in the nation. Now they've turned it such that it could become another thing flowering up in a way like it never had before. This is a sea of blood in every living soul. So now we have all of this food source taken out of play. Verse 4 says, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of water, and they became blood. That means all the water is blood. You guys have heard that Coca-Cola has been renamed, right? Now it's called Woca-Cola. Because they've gone woke. And now they're telling their employees to be less white. You guys need to be less white. What nonsense. And reality is that I even bring them up only because maybe something in the bottle, like a pop or something, might be there. But there's no water. And that means it has an expiration time. And there were times when we perceived that in Egypt they would pour water out of a chalice and it would turn to blood as it was pouring. Things of that nature. We don't know how it's going to unfold, but all the fresh water is going to be taken away. Now this actually deserved from the heavens an interlude that just says, you're right, God, you're taking away their food, you're taking away their water. The Bible says in verse 5, and I heard the angel of the waters. Isn't that an interesting title? The angel of the waters. Like there's one angel over all the waters. And it's like he pulls his hands back. He's been protecting water sources for the righteous and maybe drying up for the righteous who needed a little discipline to say, hey, wake up, you need to be praying, whatever. But he was the angel of the waters. He's standing back. He says, you are righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because you have judged thus. They have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and now has given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. This is justified. Now, when you think of that angel over the waters, there's chapter 14, verse 18, you might put in your margin to remind you there was also an angel which had power over fire. And I want you to know that when he says that he gave them blood to drink and you're worthy, this is not a judgment that is not in keeping with propriety. This is a lex talionis kind of a judgment. You don't maybe recognize those words perfectly, but it means an eye for an eye. It was called lex talionis, and it was the law that you couldn't take more from somebody than they took from you. So if somebody got in a fight and your eye got lost from that fight and he was found to be in the wrong, his eye could be poked out, but you couldn't go for two eyes. You couldn't get it worse. It was a limitation in the legal system of the Israelites. And so it served as a redemptive thing, really, because frankly, if somebody did something heinous as taking somebody else's eye or whatever, they themselves would maybe have to have theirs taken out slowly and cruelly, as it were, and maybe not with the sense of violence that takes your mind away from the reality. No, they're coming for my eye today. That's scary. And yet that guy could think redemptively. What have I done and who am I? And boy, oh man, what have I... And maybe think, I'm mortal and get saved. You see, God's all about that. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so the plagues here, even now, are that which is a wake-up call. You remember in chapter 7 at the end, the Bible says that those who came out of great tribulation, that multitude followed the Lamb wherever He went, and they were no longer going to be hungry or thirsty. You see, those who come out of great tribulation are going to be subjected to these plagues, and they will be hungry and thirsty. And the Bible says, and the light will not light upon them anymore or scorch them, which we're going to see in a moment. This is something those people will have been subjected to. If you go through the tribulation, you think, well, I'm just going to go through and I'm just going to get saved after the rapture. If you're bargaining with God with that kind of a thought, my soul, you're playing with fire right there. God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he reap. A lot of people are going to wake up because they were deceived. But if you're believing this and you're acting like it's no big deal, do not be surprised if God does not allow some of these plagues to deal handily with you because you've dealt handily with God. That's a scary thought. And yet I don't think it's without merit and some sort of justice as this is just. For they shed the blood of saints, and you have given them blood to drink, for they, well, they are worthy. In eternal terms, one invests chronically in habitual sins and sinful devotions. That's what happens. It perpetuates the narrative of the devil when people live as if there is no God. Everything comes before God. My house, my car, my kids, my wife, my husband, my paramour, my adulteress. They all come before God. All of that. And I live it out chronically in front of my children, and I show them, and I show them. This is okay. Don't mind. This is adult. You do as I say, not as I do. They're going to do as you do. And what I'm getting at is lex talionis, is that which actually limits. But there is no limit in your human life that you've chronically devoted to sin. So there will be hell forever to pay. Because you went throughout your lifetime giving yourself over to that. So in this real-time scenario, these people are having nothing to drink. Many of them have already come to terms with the fact that they're sinners deserving of judgment. And they understand that all that's happening was prophesied. They've come to terms with the fact that Jesus will be coming soon. And though their theology is sketchy, God gives them enough telegraphing to say, do not take the mark. Look at the sore. Do not take the mark of the beast. Look at those angels that just flew through the heavens. Saying, turn to God and give Him glory. Worship Him. Whoever takes the mark will suffer eternal torment in hell. And that's in chapter 14. For those who don't believe it's in there, it's in there. No rest day or night. The Bible says that they're going to have to do that forever because they basically devoted themselves completely to evil throughout their lives. One has wisely, I believe, observed the nations are judged in time and people are judged in eternity. Think about that. God gives you the entire duration on this earth to do with it what you will. And you have a chance to come to Him today, and that's up to you. If you've not come, you need to, and you need to come quickly. And if you don't come, then that's on you, and you'll stand in the deep carpet, and He'll say, depart from Me, ye accursed, into the everlasting fire, and be cast into the lake of fire. That's the narrative of the Scriptures. You look at what's going on right now. If we look at our world right now, and we say to ourselves, how can people be doing such evil things? Pick your poison. Okay? I'm not going to fill in this blank. There's a lot of evil out there. Just think of some of the really bad stuff that's going on out there. How could they do that? Well, I would say to you that sometimes you and I find ourselves complicit by continuing their narrative without speaking against it. We have to be people who say, no, that's not right. That's wrong. That's evil. And there's a lot of evil that we've allowed ourselves to look the other way on. No, that's something we have to constantly go back to the throne of God, get ourselves cleaned up. Jesus talked about washing feet. He says, I can wash your feet. You need to wash each other's feet. But reality is, there's going to be a lot of feet washing because every time you walk through your world, you're going to get your feet dirty. You need to wash your feet. You need to get forgiveness. He says, I wash your feet. He says, but you're going to need to wash each other's. What I've done, you need to do now. I've washed yours. You need to wash each other. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.